So where were you when Henry Aaron hit his 715th home run, breaking Babe Ruth's record? Where were you when Cal Ripken Jr. shattered the record of the Iron Man, Lou Gehrig? And where were you when Jay Inslee's consecutive days of emergency power hit 900 yesterday? So why? What's the end game in sight here, if there is any? John Braun is the Senate Minority Leader on the Republican side. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so 900 days of emergency power for Jay Inslee and the public. I care deeply about this because I think that we need to have checks and balances in government. The public seems to be caring less and less. So where's all this going?
Well, I think you kind of nailed it there. This is an important policy issue. It's important that we have a government that responds to the people in the way our Constitution envisioned. And to a certain extent, the average person in the state of Washington, they're just moving on. They got lives to lead. They have their own challenges, and they're no longer paying attention to the actions of our governor as he holds on to emergency powers for now 901 days.
So why is he holding on to these powers? Because it does give him the authority to do things that are extra constitutional, right?
Yes, and that's, I think, the million-dollar question is why. So because here's the thing: is he could declare the emergency done, which he should. He should have done it long ago. And if there was a new emergency, or somehow the what is not no longer a pandemic but really an endemic takes an unexpected turn, he's got the statutory authority to declare a new emergency. So it makes no sense why he's holding on to it. And here's the really frustrating thing, is he refuses to explain. He just says, hey, just trust me. And frankly, people are tired after 900 days of being governed by one person without explanation. They're tired of having him say, just trust me and don't ask me to explain myself. Very frustrating. And I think he should be called out to explain himself.
Well, yeah, I do too. But I think that many in the media have abdicated. Although the Seattle Times editorial board, they finally came out. They said that he should abandon it, which is rather surprising to see when the STEB even gets on board with this. But what do you think Inslee's end game is?
I think at some level, I think he's wrong, but he believes that he somehow has the unique, insight, unique wisdom to make better decisions for the people of the state of Washington. I think he's completely wrong. We have done okay during the pandemic, but I give that credit to the people of the state of Washington making good decisions for themselves and their families and their communities. It's not because, somehow state government, led us to success. In fact, you could make, very reasoned arguments that just the opposite. We got there in spite of state government, just because state government. But in Inslee's mind, he is out, waking up each morning to save lives, and he believes it. And he will not hear, continence, any argument to the contrary, that he alone can be right on this issue.
Well, he very famously a year ago said, only I can save lives. I mean, it just makes me wonder if he's starting to become a little disconnected from reality, because he doesn't have anybody around him who demands checks and balances, and if he's just, become a little delusional with this self-granted power.
Yeah, I think that's quite possibly the case. I don't talk to Jay Inslee that much these days, so I can't say for sure, but I do think he's disconnected. And I think, as I said earlier, I think people are just, okay, do whatever you want. I'm going to get on with leading my life. And I think it's going to be up to voters to decide, at elections in the future, what happens. We have to assert ourselves if they want the government that is envisioned by our founders and framed in the Constitution.
Well, especially when we have the Supreme Court that just envisions itself as a second legislature now. I think things are so out of whack in the state. So what's your party going to do about this? Because I thought there was a slim chance if you'd asked me a couple months ago that Republicans could restore some balance by capturing either the state House or the state Senate. I know that J.T. Wilcox had a private letter to donors and to constituents that said that that now looks like it's not going to happen this November. So what's happening with your party trying to restore some balance in our state?
Well, I think I'm not willing to concede that we are unable to restore balance in our state. That is our focus. We need balance to get better policy, to create a state that works for everybody across the state. I think clearly the primary didn't go like many of us hoped it would go. That we didn't get the red wave that some claimed was going to come. But I would tell you, we still have great candidates. We still have several races that we are in the fight. We have a chance to pick up, you know, I'd say 2-3. I think it's a long shot at 4, but there's a place we can get to that can bring back balance. Now, does it get to a majority? I can't say that. Certainly the odds are not as high as we may have thought a few months ago. But there's still work to be done here. And as with all things political, you know, you got to put in the time. You got to run the race. You got to convince the voters that you can be trusted to do the right thing for them and their families. And we intend to get out and do that.
But what's the strategy?
Hopefully the voters will come along.
Besides restoring balance, what's the strategy? Because it's my job to talk about issues every single day. I'm certainly no fan of what the Democrats do. And yet the things that resonate with my listeners, I rarely hear Republicans talking about in the state. And so what are the issues and what are the policies that are going to help you try to restore some semblance of balance?
So I think that we should be focused principally on three main issues. And there's certainly lots of other issues. I'm happy to talk about others. But I think the top issues in our state right now are affordability. You know, people are having trouble affording food, gas, housing, child care. It's all become unaffordable because of Democratic policies. And that's a simple matter of saying every time we consider a piece of legislation, we consider what's the cost to the average Washingtonian. And we don't pass things that are going to drive up costs on those items. That's not that hard, but the current majority is not doing that. They are indifferent to the cost added by bills they pass. The next one is public safety. This is straightforward. We pass some, we being the majority, not the Republicans who voted all against it, passed some terrible anti-police bills in 2021 that have created tragedy across our state. They were fixed a little bit in this session, but we have a lot of work to do to give our law enforcement officers the training, the tools they need, and the trust they deserve to do the job to keep our communities safe. This is very clear things we can do. It will take a while to get this back on track, but we know what it takes to get back on track. And then when it comes to education, we have simply dropped the ball, and our children have suffered because we left them behind during the pandemic. We did not give them the education they deserve. We need to be doing things like intensive tutoring, like summer school, to get kids back, to get caught up and ready to lead successful, prosperous lives. Those are the things we need to be doing. Those are the issues people care about, and those are the things we will be focused on. We have been focused on, and the Democrats are out there trying to distract people from the terrible policies they put in place over the last 5 years.
Can I offer some constructive criticism on what you were just saying? So I've been hammering a story the last 3 weeks that nobody in the Seattle media has talked about, and it was the Senate bill from a year and a half ago, Senate Bill 5164, that eliminates some three strikes offenses. There's a guy in Vancouver, Washington, Roy Russell. He put his hands around the throat of a 14-year-old girl. He had already been sentenced to three strikes, you're out one time. Then a judge let him go. And then when he was let go, he strangled a 14-year-old girl to death. And now because of a bill that 8 Democrats co-sponsored, that Jay Inslee signed, this guy's going to get out of prison in a couple of years. A child killer. I don't understand why the people who are running against those 8 senators and why the Republicans in general, why don't you, instead of talking about things in, you know, the broad range about restoring balance and crime's an issue, why don't you take stories like that that illustrate just what the Democrat senators and Jay Inslee are doing to get a child killer released and hit stories like that? Because then people, I think, would start to understand the horrible implications of what the soft-on-crime approach by Democrats has been.
I think that's great feedback. I think you're exactly right. And that's fair. We need to do. I think we are on the right issues, but we have not yet cracked the code on how do we convey to people just how real this is, how much this is affecting real people across our state. And so, yeah, I think examples, tragic examples like the one you just gave, we need to do a better job sharing those and holding the people who sponsored that bill and people who voted for that bill accountable for what they're doing to real people in our state.
Yeah, and I just, I've talked to that girl's grandma, and I'm not saying exploit tragedy for political gain, but to convey the real-life consequences of what being so soft on crime, because I think we're the most criminal-friendly state in the country right now, and our rising murder stats and violent crime stats seem to back all of that up. Well, I'll certainly be watching with great interest as things proceed towards this fall, Senator.
Well, thank you again for having me on. It's always good to talk to you.
Okay, you got it. Senate Minority Leader John Braun joining us. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.